I was encouraged with some of the thoughts in the morning meeting as they are along similar lines of what I was hoping to speak about and talk about. And maybe I'll just start with the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, maybe the first five verses, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says this: "But this know, that in the last days difficult times shall be there. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, evil speakers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, profane, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, of unsubdued passions, savage, having no love for what is good, traitors, headlong of vain pretensions, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of piety but denying the power of it. From these turn away." I was thinking very much of the trials of life, the evil days we live in, and how it seems to get harder and harder by the year to live upright lives, to live lives that go counter to this world. The world would seek us to conform to its ways. The world would seek to make it very difficult for us as Christians. The world would seek to destroy us, actually, in our lives. And how do we live in days like these? We see around us that the greed, the murderers that around us, the wars, the distress, the sorrow, the evil that surrounds us. Not only the sins of the world that is everywhere very apparent and seemingly growing stronger by the day, but just the trials of life too. Raising a family, seeking to follow the biblical principle of one income in a time where the taxes are ever increasing, where job security is difficult, where it's difficult to find a home, to educate children in a certain manner. How do we live lives in this world? The world would make it seem the only way possible is to conform to its ways. Like you're speaking this morning, how precious it is to come Lord's Days to worship the Lord. And how the world would say, no, you can't do this. How the world would say, no, you can't have just one income. The world would say, you need to survive, you have to have two. How do we live in a world that is designed against scriptural principles? How do we not conform to the tendencies that the world would want us to conform to because of the trials, because of the hardships? We tend to adapt the world's strategies. We tend to adapt to the world's principles. But I was very encouraged. As Christians, there is a way forward. And I would just like to open into that. And it all rests on the person of Christ. If we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Paul really identifies the crux of our faith. And where we can have strength in a day of turmoil. Where we can have... He really identifies the hope of the believer. The centrality of Scripture, and is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read from verse 13. And he says this: "But if there is not a resurrection of those that are dead, neither is Christ raised. But if Christ is not raised, then indeed vain also is our preaching, and vain also your faith. And we have found also fault with false witnesses of God, for we have witnessed concerning God that he raised the Christ, whom he has not raised, if indeed those that are dead are not raised. For if those that are dead are not raised, neither is the Christ raised. But if the Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then indeed also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are the most miserable of men, if Christ be not raised. But now," verse 20, "Christ is raised from among the dead, first fruits of those fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also resurrection of those that are dead. For as in the Adam all die, thus also in the Christ all shall be made alive. This is where we can have hope. Our whole lives rest in Christ. And if Christ be not raised from the dead, we are yet in our sins. Death has had its victory. It has claimed the Savior, the only hope for mankind, God's only Son. Sinless, spotless, the sinless and spotless sacrifice of God, He is one. But I was so encouraged with the scripture that you're reading about Goliath and how it is a picture of Christ who has taken the sword of Goliath, like David, and he has taken death, the greatest weapon of the devil, and he has with it slain Goliath. He has defeated death. We no longer are under this bondage or this final judgment. We can actually have victory over it. And I was listening to Spurgeon, and he had just a good little snippet. I'll paraphrase. He said, if you see a dead man before you, and then you see the eyes open, and the head awakes, and the head comes to be at table, the body comes with it. You cannot have a head that is alive and a dead body. This is part and parcel. And in Scripture, it speaks often of Christ, who is raised from the dead, is now our head in heaven, the head of the church. The church is His body. And if the head be alive, so too is the church. This means that there is life in the believer. There is power in the believer because our head is risen from the dead. We can have this life. There is now power to live in this world, that the world say it's impossible to live a Christian valued life because you can't make it, you can't earn enough, you can't do this without the government's help, you need the world system. And we would say, no, we follow someone else. We follow a risen Savior. He is the one where our life comes from. He is the one who we're dependent on. And as Jesus told Martha in John 11:25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And this life, how is this life communicated to us? Christ is not here. Christ is not physically present with us. He is in heaven. He is our head. But we have this life through the Holy Spirit. And I want to turn to John 16. In John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, but I say the truth to you, it is profitable for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I will go, I will send Him to you. And verse 19 of the same chapter, He says this, Jesus knew therefore that they desired to demand of Him, and said to Him, do you inquire this among yourselves, that I said a little while, and you do not behold me? Because He was going to the cross. And again a little while, and you should see me. Verily, verily, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, yea, but the world shall rejoice, and ye will be grieved at their loss of Christ. But your grief shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she gives birth to a child, has grief because her hour is come. But when the child is born, she is no longer remembers the trouble on account of the joy that a man has been born in the world. And ye now therefore have grief, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one takes from you. And in the day ye shall demand nothing of me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And finally, in verse 33 of the same chapter, these things have I spoken to you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. I just want to pull out some key words that the Spirit will bring in. There's It is profitable, the Lord Jesus says, that he goes away, that he might be able to send the Spirit to be in us and fill us with these things. It talks about joy. Our grief shall be turned to joy. We can have joy in the most trying circumstances. We can have provision. He says, ask in my name. We can have provision. And how a loving father loves to give good gifts to his children, it says in the scripture. We can have peace. He says, I have spoken these things to you that you might have peace. And in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. Joy, provision, peace, courage. These things are possible through Christ's resurrection. Without the resurrection, Jesus' life is a good example, but it has no power in our lives. But the crux of the resurrection of Christ is now, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now we can come into this life because of the provision of the Holy Spirit. He has defeated death. He has overcome the world. Be of good courage. All these challenges around us, be of good courage. Christ has overcome the world. You look at the lives of all the disciples, of the apostles. How could they move from being fearful and trembling and scared for their lives to move on in boldness to death? Because of a risen Savior. Peter in Luke 22, 55, he denies Christ three times. And the first time he denies Christ to a servant girl. And then in Acts 2, we have him completely transformed from going denying Christ in weakness and in no power that he had within him because the Spirit was not there. He goes on into Acts chapter 2 to preach a wonderful message. After receiving the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. This is the same Peter who was not able to drum up the courage to speak to just a lowly servant girl. He says this, Acts 14, 2, verse 14. And we'll maybe read to 21, maybe. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke forth to the men of Judea and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these are not full, the disciples are not full of wine, as ye suppose, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your elders shall dream dreams. Yea, even upon my bondmen and upon my bondwomen, in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will give wonders in the heaven above the signs, and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be darkness, changed to darkness, and the moon to blood before the great and glorious appearing day of the Lord to come. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter comes out in power upon receiving the Holy Spirit. There's this new life that is inside him. There's this new courage that is before him, a new joy, a new hope in the coming and returning day of the Lord, that all these trials of life, all these tribulations that the disciples were enduring and would endure to death, had no longer a hold on him. And this prophecy, this quote from Joel, is not just for the preachers and wise men that they will come out in power, but it's for young children, mothers, brothers, sisters, that they'd be so on fire with the Holy Spirit that it would be incredible testimony here. There'd be incredible witness here from even the youngest children to know something of God and to bring that before man, to know something of the truth of God's word, to even subdue the wisest of what the earth has to offer. They'd be so on fire, living supernatural lives, because we have a supernatural God and we have His Spirit inside of us. We can overcome the world. Mm. And I just am challenged. Are we learning more of this God? The power of the Holy Spirit. Do we have any sense of this power, this feeling? Do we know what it is to live lives of power in faith, in prayer? Do we see... Are we in prayer? Are we seeing our prayers answered? Do we know what it is to have this life inside of us? In our ministry here together, in our reading together, in our encouragement of one another, in Bible studies, in going out on the street and talking to people, are we seeing the power of that His Word has on people, the effect that it can have and change lives completely, transform lives? Are we seeing this? Jesus says in John 10:10, the scripture about the good shepherd, He says that I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Do we know of this abundance? Mm. Acts 7. We find Stephen. A man who's preaching God's word. A man who was having such an effect. His words were cutting so deep. His words of power and truth. That the people who were hearing him could not bear it. Their sins were being exposed. Their lies, their deceit was all being put on the table. And they could not bear it. They were so angered. And they turn to murder. It says in Acts chapter 7 verse 54. And hearing these things. This is the Pharisees and all those in the city who were listening to Stephen preach. They were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth against him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, having fixed his eyes on heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, Lo, I behold the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and held their ears and rushed upon him with one accord. And having cast him out of the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid aside their clothes at the feet of the young man called Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul. And they stoned Stephen, praying and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, Stephen cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said this, he fell asleep. How is this possible? How could Stephen do such a thing? Where did he get that strength? The boldness, the courage. It's not in ourselves that we find this. It's not some kind of thing we have to drum up and put on a big show. No, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And having fixed his eyes on heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There was nothing at that point that could deter him. No amount of hatred, no amount of pressure that could deter him off of the path that he was on. His eyes were fixed on Christ, our risen Savior. Being full of the Holy Spirit, he could step out boldly and encouraged while men were literally stoning him. He could say, lay not the sin to their charge. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Paul says, but we all, looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, are transformed according to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. How do we enter into this life? How do we get a taste of this power that is in the risen Christ? How do we overcome the impossible? By fixing our eyes on Christ, a risen Savior. He then transforms us. He fills us with His Holy Spirit. Contemplating the Word. In God's presence, in prayer. dwelling in his courts, as the psalmist says, God then proceeds to do a work in us through his Spirit. We can now enjoy the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fidelity, meekness, self-control. What we read earlier in Timothy, it speaks of the wantonness of this world, the unbridled lusts and desires to fulfill our own evil pleasures. We can now do exactly the opposite. We can swim exactly against the stream. We can do exactly everything counter to how the world would want things done. And we can follow in the direction and guidance that the Scripture gives us. Paul and Silas, as another example, in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 22. They have just gotten rid of an evil spirit and they're being cast out. The crowd rose up in Acts chapter 16 verse 22. It says, and the crowd rose up too against them, and the praetors, and having torn off their clothes, commanded to scourge them. And having laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, cast them into the inner prison and secured their feet to the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, in praying, were praising God with singing, and the prisoners listened to them. How, after you've been beaten, scourged, whipped, thrown in jail, stocks put on your feet, how can you be rejoicing? Where does this life come from? It comes from a risen Savior. They knew a man beyond death. They knew a man who was greater than all the challenges that were around them. He has overcome the world. We now have the power to overcome as well. Amen. Luke 24, 31. We read again about two after the death of the Lord Jesus who were traveling on a road. And they have an encounter with the Lord Jesus arisen, as he was not yet ascended to heaven, but he is past death. And he said this, Luke 24, 31. Just before he had, in 27, it says, and Jesus, having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted them in the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. And then verse 31, and their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way, and as he opened the scriptures to us? These two had a fire that was lit inside them. As they were contemplating scripture together, as they were reading his word, as they saw how it pointed to the Lord Jesus, as they saw how it pointed and spoke of a risen Savior, they were on fire, they were burning on the inside, and they go and share all the news after. Folks, a risen Christ is a game changer. There is nothing that this world can do that can shake us from the path that he wants us to follow. There is nothing that the world can do that can somehow disconnect us from God. God is able to overcome every challenge. There's nothing that the world can throw at us that'll be too much for a risen Savior. Folks, but we need to rely on the Spirit. We need to rely not on man's ways, but on God's ways. We need to rely not on our own strength. Stephen was not in his own strength. It was filled with the Holy Spirit. Contemplating God, fixing our eyes on where Christ is now, out of death, beyond death. Death no longer is the end for us. We now can have joy, provision, peace, courage, assurance of salvation. Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. Folks, it might not be a literal set of armor that you see Christians walking around on, but spiritually we have armor. And Ephesians puts it this way. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 10. For the rest, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Put on the panoply or the armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the artifices or the plans of the devil. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against principalities, against authorities, against the universal lords of this darkness, against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. Stephen recognized this. He was not fighting those men there. Lay not this sin upon them. He saw the evil that they were in bondage to. For this reason, verse 13, take to you the panoply or armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's today, having accomplished all things, to stand. Stand therefore, having girt about you the loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the glad tidings of peace, or the gospel. Besides all these things, having taken the shield of faith, with which ye will be able to quench all the inflamed darts of the wicked one. Not some, all. Have also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Boy, did Stephen have the sword. It cut to the bone and the marrow of those who were listening to the gospel. His word, the truth of God's word, is going to cut deep. It gets to the heart of issues. And at the heart of issues, we are all sinners. And this sin needs to be dealt with. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, it has been dealt with. We are to put our faith in that Savior. Mm-hmm. Having also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word, verse 18, praying at all seasons with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching unto this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, in order that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the glad tidings. It's a mystery. How can we live in a day like this? How can we live lives that are so contrary to how the world would say we need to live to survive? How? It's a mystery to those who do not know a risen Savior. And Paul finishes verse 20, for which I am an ambassador bound with a chain, that I may be bold in it as I ought to speak. And I would just like to go back to that first scripture we read, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, but thou, that is each one here, me, Karen, Jamie, Caleb, Dublin, all one of us, but thou, abide in these things which thou hast learned, of which thou hast been fully persuaded, knowing of whom that thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the sacred letters, the truth of God's word, which are able to make thee wise. We can be wise at whatever age we are if we have the truth. Wise unto salvation. Salvation is known. It is, men are inexcusable, Romans says. Men are inexcusable as to the God of the heavens, the God, our Creator, who made heaven and earth, who sent his only begotten Son to die for this world, so that we might enter into this life. He is the resurrection and the life. Through faith in which is in Christ Jesus, every scripture is divinely inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work. I would challenge you all, and by all I mean me as well. We may know the words, we may know the phrases, but do we know the power? Are we seeking the outward experiences of what a Christian life is, but know not the power that is in a Christian life? Do we know that we are Christians, but we have lost that life, that enthusiasm, that zeal, that emotion of knowing a risen Savior? Do we put on a form of godliness, but again deny the power of it? Be not content with the truth until you feel the force of it. Contemplate His word in prayer, in song, until you know. And as Paul Washer said, praise not the spiritual food set before you, but eat of it until you know its power to nourish. And all these things are possible because He lives. All these things are available to us because we can know a risen Savior. This world suddenly is not our home. We actually await a new day, a glorious day, when He shall return. In a moment, this moment, He tells His disciples, you will grieve, but you will have great joy, for I will see you again. Do we know this joy? Do we know the power that we can have in the Holy Spirit to be like Stephen, to be like Paul and Silas, to burn inside like the two on the road to Emmaus when we contemplate His word and the truth of it, that has the power to change our lives, that has the power to give us life, peace, joy, and assurance? May we not be satisfied until we know and are fully persuaded that the Lord Jesus is able because He lives. For His name's sake. Amen.